This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Joining me now on the phone, I have Deputy Summit County Attorney Jana Young. Good morning, Jana.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. So, interesting with, there's a big group of county employees who kind of serve as the legislative task force, I guess. You guys meet weekly to kind of preview what's happening down at the state legislature?
Correct. So about 4 years now, we've had this internal working group comprised of a bunch of county staff that are involved in departments that tend to see a lot of legislative activity at the state level, as well as our elected officials and a couple of council members who, again, all their offices are impacted by the legislature. So we decided when I joined the county about 4 years ago that we needed to organize more internally so that we could have a larger group track everything, because there are hundreds of bills that are introduced every year that impact counties, and it was tough to stay on top of them all, but then also to work more effectively through the Utah Association of Counties on lobbying efforts and to establish effective relationships with our legislators so that if there were provisions or bills that we were concerned about, then we'd be able to fix those concerns. Or if we had a need and we needed something adopted or passed that would help us in the county, we would be able to do that more effectively. We've, like I said, it's our fourth session now. We've kind of gotten that system down pretty smoothly and is really effective. I always like to note every session, I'm constantly amazed at how things end up at the end of the session. And it really is a tribute to the process. You know, things start out at the beginning that really scare us, but then by the end, most things have been fixed. And really that's the product of our incredible lobbying team at the Utah Association of Counties, our attorney's office, and quite frankly, the willingness of legislators to work with counties. So it is a pretty good process.
Yeah, so how do you guys break up the workload internally?
So we tend to, there's a few of us that are tracking everything. Jamie Bracken, especially in the attorney's office, she leads the civil attorney's team and she's on top of everything. But as bills come up that have some jurisdiction involving a particular department, or we have a subject matter expert on our team that is best equipped to address those issues, then we tend to assign those bills to that person and they watch the committee hearings. And we also, all of our elected officials are involved in their own affiliate groups at the UAC level. And so they're monitoring things and reporting back to us. And then we try to streamline in those meetings, everyone comes together and shares what they have heard and what they've been seeing and if they have an idea of a fix. And then we work through the Utah Association of Counties and our own lobbyists to get those changes done.
Okay, well, let's talk a little. Well, I wanted to ask you, did you see any kind of the last minute bill filings like we did last year with the whole hideout debacle?
You know, there were a few, but not so late in the session that we weren't able to do anything about them. The ones that kind of came up at the very end here didn't end up going anywhere. So we're not aware of any surprises at this point. But, you know, we're all kind of reeling from the end of the session and we're taking our time to look through what passed and see if there are concerns we weren't aware of.
Okay, well, let's kind of go through the list. I know that you had your eyes on, you being the county. There was a Senate Bill 61. It was a substitute bill, but it dealt with the outdoor advertising amendments.
Correct. Fortunately, this bill failed in the Senate, so won't need to spend too much time on it, but important to let everyone know this was something the county was really concerned about throughout the session because it would have prohibited our ability to regulate billboards in the county, such as their type, location, placement, size, that type of thing. And as folks know, currently billboards are not allowed in Summit County. So we were concerned about this, worked really hard through our associations and with the city's association to get this defeated. There was another bill that also was introduced on the same issue. So we don't think this is an issue that's going away, but we at least survived this session.
Okay. And then Senate Bill 164 dealing with housing affordability amendments.
Yes. So as people are aware, you know, Utah is one of the fastest growing states in the nation. We're getting to the point where already we have more demand for housing than we have inventory and stock for, and as well as there's the affordability issue. And so every year the legislature is working on various bills to address that challenge. This was the one introduced this year by Senator Andreg. At the beginning, you know, it was just a hodgepodge of a lot of different provisions to address various aspects of affordable housing. And so we were, you know, we really felt like maybe those should have been addressed separately. But, you know, we were only, we were concerned about a few of the provisions, but it looks like those have been fixed. The end bill that ended up getting passed and is on its way to the governor for signature really focuses on the financing of these projects. It also makes some modifications to the Olean Walker Housing Loan Fund. It allows a municipality or county to grant property to be used for affordable housing units and creates an affordable housing pilot. So we're not too concerned how it ended up and think it might actually help with the affordable housing issue.
Okay, so I mean, will it help here in Summit County, you think?
Yeah, we'll have to look at that. I think, you know, the Olean Walker Housing Loan Fund is useful. You know, it certainly is something we'll have to study as we head down the road in these projects.
All right. Something that kind of goes along with that and is that Senate Bill 221 that dealt with the short-term rental amendments. I know that this was of great concern to the county as well, but it never made it through.
Yeah. Fortunately, it didn't even see any floor action. It made it out of committee, but didn't go further than that. We were concerned about this bill because it would have prohibited us from regulating short-term rentals when they were in owner-occupied units, such as things like we couldn't limit the number of people who could stay in them. There wasn't any ability to make sure there was enough sewer and water services to serve those units, and you know, a bunch of those health, safety, and welfare concerns. So we're happy to see that this one didn't move in the process.
Okay. Senate Bill 195 dealt with some emergency response amendments.
Yeah, so we knew this bill was coming. Our legislators at the beginning of the session told us to expect it. This was in response to concerns that legislators received from the public during the COVID-19 pandemic regarding the length of an emergency, that an emergency declaration could be in place, as well as perceived lack of checks and balances on executive authority, I think primarily at the governor level, but also at in the counties where there was an executive, where the executive is a different person than the legislative body. So essentially all those counties that do not have a commission form of government. So there was a lot of discussion about this bill within the Utah Association of Counties. Most counties in the state are governed by a county commission, and so those counties were generally in support of limiting executive powers. However, for counties like us in Summit County, where we have a manager council form of government, we had concerns because we didn't want the state to be able to come in here and get rid of our emergency declaration or interfere with it, because we feel like that decision making should be done at the local level. Fortunately, we were able to work on a compromise that ultimately made it into the bill, and that bill has been passed by both bodies, is on its way to the governor, that essentially lays out a timeline. So it reinforces that a county executive, like a mayor or manager, does have the authority to issue an emergency order, but they must give the local legislative body 24 hours notice of that order before issuing it. And I think this was to, you know, here in Summit County, we had excellent coordination between our council and the manager and the health department, but there were some other counties where they feel like there should have been more consultation with the legislative body. So that's why that's added in here. Once the emergency order has been declared by the county executive, it can stand for 30 days. And within that 30 days, the local legislative body can amend or tweak it. But then after the 30 days, the state legislature would then have the authority to retool or tweak the order. So I don't know if the county's super thrilled about this bill. Ultimately, the Association of Counties supported it in its third version. It went through a lot of iterations because it felt like it struck the right balance between protecting the legislative power of counties while maintaining executive oversight on emergency response.
Okay, and then House Bill 98, I know this was also of concern, which would basically allow contractors to hire their own building inspectors. How did that end?
Yeah, so unfortunately, this bill passed. It is a very bad bill, still in our opinion, and one that Summit County remains the most concerned about. It did go through a lot of changes through the session, thanks to the hard work of our teams. So it's not as bad now as when it started. But for instance, it prohibits the local regulation of certain building design elements. And as you mentioned just now, gives more authority to third-party building inspectors where they can even issue the certificate of occupancy. And, you know, there are other provisions, too, that really tie the county's hands if, by chance, we do the initial review of the permit and find some issues, we want them fixed. We don't have the power to make sure those issues get fixed. As you know, there's stories after stories in our community, but also across the country where, you know, there have been construction mishaps and things when the local government body isn't as involved in the regulation or review of that. And so we are concerned about this. We were just made aware by the county engineer that the Association of State Floodplain Managers, which is a nonprofit, a national nonprofit organization of about 20,000 members, really dedicated to reducing flood losses, they came out opposed to the bill. They've sent a letter to the governor asking that he veto it because, as they view the bill, it could be interpreted to circumvent the National Flood Insurance Program minimum standards, potentially suspending Utah from the program, which would disqualify the state from receiving federal disaster assistance and may disallow federally backed mortgages for structures in those floodplain or those special flood hazard areas. So obviously a lot of concerns about this. This was a new one we weren't made aware of, that it will impact us at the federal level. So hopefully the governor chooses to veto it. We'll continue to watch that.
Okay, just sounds like developers are anxious and just they don't feel like counties are moving fast enough, huh?
Yeah, that's the impression we get. You know, here in Summit County, we do process. I mean, we have inspectors generally out there within the 3 days, and things in general move really smoothly here. You know, we are in situations where we have very large developments, very large homes that sometimes just take a little extra time to review. And so, you know, I think sometimes that's frustrating for developers, but we have shown that, you know, we're good partners and you know, we want to get through these things in our, you know, in the quickest way possible, as long as making sure that, you know, health, safety, welfare is upheld as well.
All right. House Bill 115. I also noticed like the cross boundary annexation bill here. What happened with this?
Right. So this was a bill that the county was supportive of the whole session. We worked really hard on. It was crafted through the Land Use Task Force, which means that it was a consensus process among developers and counties and cities and a lot of stakeholders. It does address the cross-boundary annexation issue. So this is situations where a city, town, or county wants to annex land in another city or town, similarly to what we encountered during the Hideout hostile annexation in Summit County last year. So the bill, while it doesn't have everything the county would like to see, it does fix many of the challenges we experienced during that Hideout situation, such as requiring notice and signatory rights to counties and prohibiting the annexation of an area included in a certified incorporation petition. There was a substitute at one point in the session that came out on the bill that really concerned us because it essentially took all approval authority away from the county. And so our attorney's office worked with the Utah Association of Counties to negotiate some language, which ended up getting passed in the final bill that we're happy about. Essentially, that language requires a third-party feasibility study when there are cross-boundary annexation situations, and they need that study in order to get that annexation approved. And that feasibility study has to look at and evaluate key components that we're always concerned about, such as, can the annexation occur without leaving an area of the county unserviceable? Is the tax generated in the annexation area making sure it's not a significant grab of revenues away from the entity losing the land, and then the feasibility of service delivery to that new area. Everyone involved in the annexation has to participate in the study, so it's not biased or skewed. And then if it comes back favorable, so the results will dictate if it's okay to move forward with the annexation, and if that study comes back favorable, then essentially the county has to approve it. So we feel a lot better having that language in there, and again, the bill did get passed, and we're supportive of it.
Okay, and with that proposed GARF, or at least the feelers out for a GARF Ranches Incorporation, anything that we're aware of changes, proposed changes about how cities are incorporated?
No, we didn't see that this session. There was a bill, SB 213, that was introduced by Senator Thatcher that addressed incorporation, but the focus of that was mainly to prevent a city from annexing if an incorporation petition had been filed, and that provision was actually included in HB 115, so Senator Thatcher ended up not pursuing that bill. He only introduced it in case HB 115 didn't pass, but other than those two bills, that's all we're aware of regarding the annexation or incorporation issue.
Okay. I'm about out of time. I want to kind of just jump to the House Bill 247. This would, I know that the county had its eyes on early on allowing counties in the 4 through 6 classes to use transient room tax monies to mitigate the impacts of tourism. Summit County is a third class county. Did anything change with our class ranking to allow us to use this TRT money?
No, there was a bill, I think kind of in the middle of the session, that looked at changing the classifications for some counties, but either it didn't go anywhere or it was changed so that it wouldn't impact Summit County. So we're still a third class county after this session.
Okay, and anything else you just wanted to mention that you thought was important?
Yeah, two quick things. There were two bills, HB 433 and then HB or SB 217, I just wanted to mention. These were bills that will help us on the transportation side of things. Specifically 433, we were able to get an earmarked funds and authorization for an environmental study on the preferred alternative for the I-80 and Kimball Junction interchange. This is a really big deal for the county. This bill was a major infrastructure investment bill, about $2 billion that was introduced this session, and we worked really hard to actually get a specific mention for our community in that bill. This study really helps move us down the line on addressing that interchange, makes it a priority among UDOT, so we're very excited about that. And then 217 just allows us another funding opportunity for transit and housing. So again, originally that was only going to be for cities, and we were able to get counties included, especially counties with small transit districts. So some success stories there.
Okay, Jana, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Yep, thank you.
That's Deputy County Manager Jana Young. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW.